Welcome back to Rosie on the House. We're enjoying a conversation this morning with Glendale farm girl, Miss Carol DeCosmo, as she shares about the ranchers and farmers of Arizona. We've covered a couple already this morning, just their contributions and how they choose the winners of this Hall of Fame that she's got going.
Well, I hope you've made good enough friends with her that we start getting invited to the dinner.
Well, it's March 3rd at the Wigwam. I have it on my notes. Yeah,
that's
I was gonna push her for that.
Is it open to the public or by invitation?
It is. We do send out invitations, but it is open to the public.
Okay.
If you'd like to come,
we'd love to.
If you'd like to eat Arizona beef and Arizona vegetables.
That's what y'all serve up.
That's what we serve.
We love hanging out with anybody who has to do with farming and ranching in Arizona.
Absolutely.
We had the Kerrs in last week. Just a wonderful family that we enjoyed.
Kerr Dairy.
Excuse me. We enjoyed visiting with. But we're going to talk this segment about three women who honorees, you said, for the nomination?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about those ladies.
Well, the first one was Wink Kriegler from up in the Greer area. She's Molly Butler's granddaughter. So
the ex-Diamond.
At the ex-Diamond Ranch. It's just an amazing place when you go there. You see what the work she's done on the forest. You see what the work she's done on the land around it. When they had the big fire up there, the ex-Diamond and the South Fork, which belongs to her sister, those were the ones that didn't have any forest burned because they cleared their forest area out. But it's amazing. But she's a very community-minded person. She works with U of A to improve the drainage on the Little Colorado that comes through her ranch. She works with the school board. I mean, she's, again, FFA. She's another community-minded person.
We had the pleasure of meeting Miss Wink. And now I see her name everywhere. I realize we've missed out. We have missed out. It's new to she's new to us, but she's not new to Arizona.
No, she's not.
Her history is so greatly entrenched. And we made reservations, kind of showed up not knowing what to expect. She greeted us herself at the door, offered us a tour. She's passionate about preserving family history.
She's a teacher.
So like, we have a half hour for a tour. You know, it's an hour and a half. She has these cabins that she's filled with memorabilia of Arizona, including, I think, like 6 Nickelodeons.
At least.
The big music boxes with all the different instruments. And so she would turn them on, and we'd think, oh, she's going to play a little bit. We got to hear an entire song out of each. They're all working.
Mm-hmm.
So she just, talk about energy. I can't imagine how she gets done, what she gets done. Beautiful cabins to stay in there.
Well, I mean,
ex-Diamond.
Her family has basically lived on the Little Colorado River for 100 years.
Yes, exactly.
So, I mean, she knows the turf up there.
You go to Wink. If you have a question, you go to Wink. She's got the answer, or she knows somebody to send you to. We did Wink, and then we went on up the road to Dick Udall's house and interviewed him. Again,
yes.
He's another person up there that has farmed and ranched in that area. His family's been there for almost 100 years.
Sure.
And
Mo and Stuart
They're all cousins. And his son, Chris, is the director of the Arizona Water and Council. He is a true lobbyist. The whole family is amazing.
I'll have to look him up and buy him lunch. We have property in Arizona right on the New Mexico border. I mean, on the San Francisco River.
Mm-hmm.
And on our property, we have this water that bubbles up out of the meadow and feeds this whole meadow. It's just our little slice of heaven. And so I wanted to build a little dam and put some fish in there and for the grandkids. So I got to talking to the locals around there, and they said, well, you'll have to go to Sacaton and talk to the Gila River Indian tribe because that water belongs to them.
Yes. It does.
So we just get to watch it bubble along. It's great, though. It's still charming.
It does irrigate our field, but we cannot divert it. We cannot store it. We cannot do anything to change it or impact it. But.
Well, how about, okay, so that's, Wink was the first woman.
Yes.
Who's the second one?
Gloria England. She's down in Florence, Coolidge area, and she was raised in up around the mining area. She went down to work by Williams Field during the war, met a pilot, and she had twin boys, went on to New Mexico when he was moved there. He died, and when she came back home, her aunt that lived in L.A. said she didn't want her just to come home and, you know, just mold her way in Arizona. So she went to Los Angeles and became a department store model back in the early 50s when the models, but she didn't like L.A. and she didn't want her boys to grow up there. And she said, I was never going to be a magazine model because I'm not tall enough. She said, but they don't understand that not every woman is a 5'8". So she came back home. Married again and moved down to Coolidge, and they're cattle ranchers. They brought out her picture. She's still a lovely woman, and she's in her 90s now. And
wow.
When they brought out her modeling pictures, my husband, who was with me doing the interview, kind of backed up and went, whoa! She was a redheaded
stunning,
beauty.
Huh?
And yeah. She is still stunning at that age. She's just amazing. And the third person was selected this past year, and that's Bobby McDermott. Roberta Stevenson McDermott. She graduated from the U of A, and she's a soil conservationist. She's the first female soil conservationist in the state, and she's just amazing. She's still active, still very busy, even though she is retired. She got married, and she's a bass fisherman, and she has her own boat. And she and her husband fish in Yuma. Well, they live in Yuma, and they fish in Yuma. But
tell me a little bit more about what that looks like as a soil conservationist. So she's educated in that area.
She's educated in that area. She works with the farmers to improve the soil on their farms. She, again, is another very passionate water conservation person. And that's what she does, is she works with the farmers in each place. I said, you know, there's a lot of conversation about who should be selected and who not.
Well, that was
a long conversation. They said, well, she should be a special conservationist. And one of the other men that was on the case said, no. Bobby's had her hands in the dirt more than half the farmers in the state. So he said, no. She's going to come in as a Hall of Famer, not a special person, because she's a woman didn't make any difference.
The three women that hold positions in the Arizona Farming and Ranching Hall of Fame. Now, you're probably going through the very beginning of your criteria and selection process for next year's banquet, aren't you?
We already selected.
Oh, you've already selected
we've
for
already
18?
Selected. Yeah, we've okay. already selected. I think I sent Jennifer a list of the honorees.
But you don't announce them before the banquet, do you?
No. Oh, yeah. No, we do.
Oh, you do?
We get people to come. That everybody's invited.
Okay.
Everybody's invited, and some people come and some don't. And they're an interesting group of people this year.
And I see you have the Haydens from Buckeye.
Haydens are here, Bruce.
Bruce
yes.
and Helen Haydon. What a great couple. I was fortunate enough to remodel their home.
Is that right?
And get to know them on a personal level. Just really super people. The thing, whenever I see Bruce, he always reminds me, he says, Rose, you remember the time the phone rang in my motel room at 2 o'clock in the morning, you woke me up? They had traveled to, I believe it was either Thailand.
Somewhere far.
It was far, with the Cotton
yeah,
Growers
right.
Association. And so I called the hotel because I just wanted to have some flowers and a little champagne brought up to their room. And so me and the person on the phone couldn't understand each other. So he thought I wanted to ring the room. Hello? Oh, hello, Bruce.
Nothing worse than a 2 o'clock in the morning phone call on a vacation. What's wrong?
Well, yeah, that's yeah. exactly yeah. it. That's the yeah. thing.
What does your remodeler want while you're halfway across the world?
You know, that's interesting because we selected Jess Curley last year, and he just retired as the director of Supima Cotton. And people don't know there's a difference between Supima and Upland Cotton. But Supima is a superior long staple cotton, and it's sold through Jess coming on board with Supima. It's a leading cotton for Japan, Indonesia, India.
Do I remember right? We're like one of the few places that grows it. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. But there's not very many places. And you have to have a license to grow it. And so Jess developed that whole thing in the 30 years he was with Supima. And I learned a lot. That last year they had a Supima cotton fashion show in Paris because the major designers are designing that cotton. If you see something stamped with Supima, buy it, because that is a long staple, it's soft, and it will last forever.
Can we talk just for a minute as we wrap up here about your vision for the Ag and Agriculture and Education
yeah.
Center?
Heritage Center, right?
Well, my vision is to see, we have 30 acres that has been given to us.
In Avondale.
It's on Dysart Road. Is to have a year-round ag education center so that people can, we could have classes year-round because we have enough land to farm, even when we get all the museums built. I'd like to build, of course, the Heritage Center Museum, which is the home of the Hall of Fame with the changing exhibit, a tractor museum, because the tractors have changed a lot from horse-drawn farm implement to what they have
computer
today. Computer-driven, that's right. The conference center, because nonprofits fail because they don't have a steady stream of income.
There you go.
A cash cow.
So like an event center.
We have, we call it a barn, but it's not really a barn. It's the corrals and the shaded seating so that can be used year-round. And we have an ag education classroom because we want people, you know, the Farm Bureau does good. And when we had school tours at Saguaro Ranch, but that's only one day. They come and they go. I would like, if kids have a really good time, they could come back the next day, on the next Saturday, and they could have a tour. Or we could have child-parent ag classes in the summertime. You know, the kids could go do something, and the mom could learn how to bake bread.
And you're picturing lots of hands-on kind of things for growing and handling of livestock.
Exactly. At Saguaro Ranch, we had a two-year partnership with the Farm Bureau. And I was upstairs in my office, and the kids all of a sudden were whooping and hollering, carrying on. I looked to see what were they tearing up. Well, they had pulled their first carrots and their first radishes, and they were washing them under the hose, and they were eating them. So I walked downstairs, Miss Dean, look at my carrot. And his mother said, I would have to beat him to get him to eat carrots like that at home. And I said, but he didn't grow the one at home. He grew that one. She said, well, maybe I have to start learning how to grow carrots. I said, you can do that.
The Heritage Center at this point is still just a dream.
It's a dream.
We have the land.
We have the land, and we have...
We obviously have it kind of master planned in your mind.
Well, it has been master planned.
Okay.
We work with Orcutt Winslow,
the
architects here in town.
Yes.
They have master planned the whole thing. The big thing is we have somebody interested in building the tractors building, and we have somebody interested in that. But it's the infrastructure that we have to build first for the city of Avondale before we can do anything. You know, and that's the problem.
So probably funding is a big deal.
I just finished a grant and submitted it because this year, to do the interviews, we're working with Awafria High School and their television film production classes, and they're going to be working with me to tape these things and then develop little segments to be shown at the Hall of Fame dinner before each honoree.
Well, awesome.
You can count on us being there.
Ms. Carol DeCosmo, the founder of Arizona Farming and Ranching Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Now I've got Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Where can people find that?
You can go online to our website as azfare.org, and you can order the book online.
Fantastic. We'll be right back.